Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly tracks, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from
Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but baby, it's always a Tuesday around here. Grandma! Patrick Harris with you. No Joe Fisher tonight, for we have traded him to the Lakers for a first round pick and Luka Doncic. So welcome, Luka Doncic, to the show today.
Grandma!
Apparently, it doesn't take much to get Luka Doncic. And, I jumped at an opportunity to set this franchise up for the next 15 years. You know, Luka, I just want to say, if you like beer, I like beer too, my friend.
I don't know any other Slovenian words besides Gremo. That is the translation, according to Google, for let's go in Slovenian. And I don't know any other word in Slovenian. What about just hello?
Ola. I'm going to go with ola.
Zdravo.
Zdravo.
That is just hello. Yeah, you got to say it with that Eastern Bloc kind of accent, that grungy just...
If you pretend you have a Russian accent, I think that accent will work in this country for Eastern European.
Now, forgive me.
In my country, vodka drink you.
Forgive me for my ignorance, because I know that some of the Balkan countries.
Oh, I love that you threw out Balkan. Yeah, you know your geography.
Well, no, I don't. That's what I'm trying to say here, is that the Balkan part is like who Russia tried to take over or did and then gave the countries back.
They've done multiple times.
Yes. But then, like, up north, kind of near Norway and Finland, there is some countries up there that are like, isn't that where Serbia is? Or
you're thinking of, like, Prussia.
No, I'm thinking, okay, I got the map here. Like, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania.
Georgia is a big one that Russia has always tried to take over, and not Hotlanta, Georgia, but like.
Yes, but.
The country of Georgia.
Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. Yeah, they are actually right next to Russia, too, but they're more north. They're right below Finland, so they are not considered a Balkan country. But, yeah, I'm sure Russia tried to have their hand at them, too.
There's countries
all over. That's just kind of what they did.
There's countries all over that try to take.
Kind of what they do. It's kind of their jam, even to this day, trying to take over countries.
Trying to take over your hemisphere is huge. I mean, look at us right now. We're trying to do that, too.
You know, Russia, do you look at yourself on a map? Do you not see how much land you already have? I'm sure
it's not about that, though.
I'm sure a little bit of it is inhospitable, you know, a little cold in some parts.
Yeah, but you know what? You can put it on the board! If we're just trying to compile here, you know, Craig Biggio's in the Hall of Fame, and one would argue he might be the Russia of just compiling. If I can just get enough things in front of me, if Giancarlo hits 70 more home runs, he will have compiled his way to the Hall of Fame.
You know what cracks me up when I'm watching like World War II stuff? I love watching like World War II documentaries. Or
I do
just
as
shows
well.
On Netflix.
My father was really big into it, so I am also big.
They got some good stuff on Netflix, like the greatest events in World War II history in color.
In color.
Oh, yeah.
I love the in color. There was the World War I by Peter Jackson was really good.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I'll have to seek it out. World War II from the front lines is another good one. World War II, I think it's A Road to Glory. World War II, Electric Boogaloo. But what always kills me is when they're like, yeah, Hitler, he took over France, and then he made his way into Italy, and then Northern Africa. I'm like, this guy really just thought he was going to be able to just take over the world.
He kind of was successful for a little bit.
I'm like,
bit.
What an idiot. Like, who has ever in the history of the world just been like, we took it all over.
You know, North Africa looks pretty great right now.
Piece of cake. No problem. No resistance.
It is weird. They never take over, like, the cool places, except for France. But to France's defense, quote unquote, they've been conquered like 45 times.
Yeah. Also, when I watched it, and it just dawned on me the other day, because I've watched this stuff a lot, and then I literally just asked myself the other day, I was like, what was Spain up to this entire time?
Oh, they're just hanging.
Dude, they're like, yes. they're just kind of like looking out their blinds out the windows like, ooh, that looks pretty messy.
Weren't the Spanish the ones kind of exploring the rest of the world?
They definitely.
Well, back in the day,
yeah, long before World War II, they were probably. That's probably what they're doing.
Christopher Columbus did set sail from Spain.
Hey, there you go.
To come find this amazing country we live in.
Well, I think the Spaniards are the first one that found the Oregon coast in like the 1500s or 1400s or some S like that.
Accidentally, probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Were there tariffs on the Panama Canal back then?
What did they call it back then?
They probably called it the Columbus Canal.
No, I actually think they went like.
They got lost
under
for sure.
South America.
Got lost multiple times. Can didn't you know imagine? Where the hell they were.
You're just the dude that cleans the piss buckets, and you're like, guys, I don't think we know where we're going.
The piss is frozen.
They're like, I don't think Captain knows where we are. They're like, shut up,
silencio,
dude. Silencio, por favor.
Yeah,
they did not say please, by the way.
No, they did not.
It cracks me up watching that World War II stuff because it's just, yeah, Hitler. I mean. He just was on one. And to think, like, you know.
We had crazies everywhere.
You know, I think.
Rommel in North Africa.
You know, I think I'm just going to take over this whole world thing. I think we can do it, right?
What would you do with the world? Like, let's be real. That's where I don't think it's thought out. I think people are like, let's take over the world. what would you do with it?
That's why it's always in movies, because it's unrealistic.
Yeah, do you just... You need,
I'm going to take over the world.
You know, I took over the world, and I'd like to go to Kyoto to see the flowers bloom there. And when I'm done, I'd like to take in some surf on Ventura Beach.
Let's go to French Polynesia. Excuse me, Germany Polynesia.
Germany Polynesia. Because we took that over now. After that,
catch
you know.
Some waves.
Yeah, everything ends up like Trump. It has like Hitler's name on it or German, like whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I hear Bali is great this time of year.
German Bali? That'd be beautiful.
Probably not. Let's just be thankful that.
Like, are the Bahamas as cool as they are if you own the world?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
no, there's thousand other places that have the same views.
Bahamas are still nice, though.
Yeah, those are islands.
Well, yeah, but I think it's
going to be like bombed out and depleted. I think you can still get a solid coconut, you know?
They need, you know, all those like
I don't
really.
Think they have coconuts in Bahamas.
Oh, they got to have coconuts.
All those really crappy rulers need fun tropical places to go visit. Yeah. They need vacation spots.
So. You know, it's funny.
I have vacation spots. How many do you have? Let me tell you, I have 75 vacation spots that no one's ever seen. It's like, well, actually, people live there.
They see them every day.
Beautiful. no one's seen vacation spots like mine. What's funny is, you know, people are like, yeah, U.S., they won the World War II. It's like, man, those Russians, though, put in some work. Lady snipers.
Hey, I mean, the Russians are a big reason why World War II is World War II.
Yeah. But again, they were our allies.
They were our allies because at the end of the day, USA, USA.
But they did get Berlin first.
They did.
They got Berlin first.
The Blitzkrieg, the whole it's cold AF out here and you ain't going to be able to survive. Yeah.
Oh, shout yeah.
Out, shout out Russians. That's why I think we should be homies with the Russians right now.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Come on.
100 years ago, you guys got my back. I got your back.
Remember
right
the
now.
40s?
Unconditionally.
Remember how great it was and how good of friends we were?
You know, I've been paying attention to what's going on with you guys over there, but, you know, you hooked me up 100 years ago. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I always feel like one of the more powerful images or video, though, is when they have FDR and Churchill and Stalin all, like, kicking it together in the yard, all sitting next to each other. Pretty crazy stuff.
They're like, you know, these Hitler Mussolini guys are probably bad news.
They're like, we should probably stop this, you know.
Yeah.
So go World War II being won by the right guys. In the world,
getting higgy with it.
In the world not getting taken over by Hitler.
There's a really good TV series.
From A-Rod.
I think it was an Amazon series called Man in the High Castle, and I believe it was based on a book series.
Yep, it was basically
based on what you're talking about, Joe, if I think it was either the Japanese or the Germans and Japanese won World War II.
Oh, that's right.
And America was kind of split into this dystopian, like, you know, half Japanese, half German setting, and it was a very interesting series. I don't know if it was like two or three seasons, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, what happens if we got to that point where Japan and Germany just sort of met in the middle and they're like, so what do we just kind of split things up?
I'm gonna push this a little further. I'm a big fan of For All Mankind.
Oh, I love that show
on Apple TV.
Huge, not familiar. Huge fan
it,
as well.
It, the premise is as Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are about to land on the moon. The first humans to ever land on the moon, they miss it. And the Russians are the first to land on the moon.
Oh, boy.
And so the whole premise of this show is that the Russians landed on the moon first, and the United States have decided to dump insane amounts of money into NASA. And now it's the Cold War in space.
Ah.
And it's absolutely fantastic.
It's a great series.
Four seasons. Each season has a 10-year gap. They do these little vignettes in between. There is a moment.
You tell me this is on Tubi or something.
It's on Apple TV. No, okay. It's on Apple TV. It's right. Very well done. It's very, very well done. But the best part is in the middle of the 10 years, they have these little vignettes of what's going on in America.
Oh, they
so,
do
like,
it so well.
Ted Kennedy is the president. John Lennon was shot but didn't die.
Yeah, they make the world a better place.
In 1988, the Blazers win the NBA Finals with their
Michael
star
Jordan.
Point guard, Michael Jordan.
It's a great
really?
Mention.
It's absolutely fantastic. Yes.
They put that in the show?
No, it's just in these little vignettes that they put out as like teasers for the next season.
But they put that in the show that he goes to the Trailblazers?
Yep. Wow. Because he was drafted by the Trailblazers. Because it's this all history thing. It's so good.
That's great.
And it's like Jordan doing
give
this.
Me a whole season of that.
It's like Jordan doing his fist pumps in the air, but he's in a Blazer jersey, and it's like Blazers win title in
'88. Isn't that the famous, like, what if magazine cover? I think they used that, totally. And they just said, oh, Blazers win the championship. It was really cool.
I cannot recommend For All Mankind more. There's a fifth season coming. It's so good. It's so good.
That's that might be worse watching that show. I might get more mad at that image than Russia getting to the moon first.
Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin come back to when they land and come back to America.
They were never there.
They're vilified.
They are.
Because they screwed up.
Oh.
There's a scene where they're about to land on the moon and they can't.
Bro, you had one job.
Because it's too dangerous. They'll die if they do. So they pull back and decide not to land. And they come back to America and they're vilified.
Wow.
Because it's like, you guys are a bunch of
cowards.
You know, bees. Yeah. 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 Wow. You didn't do that.
Didn't
and the Russians land.
Didn't Russia?
And then the North Koreans come in. And oh, man.
Oh,
it's
my
nuts.
God.
It's
that
nuts.
Whole hook.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
Might have to check this out.
Show's good.
You got me hooked.
Show's really good.
Were you about to ask if the Soviets actually beat us to space? Because yes, they did. That is true.
I was going to say, didn't they send a dog or a monkey up there?
They went to space.
They were the first human in space, yes, but not on the moon.
And also non-human. Didn't they send a dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we faked the moon before they faked the moon.
Very true.
Yeah. It's true.
Very true.
It's great. They
Hollywood.
Land,
it's Hollywood, baby.
They land the first woman on the moon. It's this huge thing. Oh, it's so good. That show's great.
How about that first segment?
Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a show for you today. There's a lot to get to.
More World War II talk coming your way.
More history here for you. We've got a lot to get into. There is a sleeping giant that I think could get real, real scary here in a moment. If you're
Nazi
not paying
Germany?
Attention. No, that'd be the USA. So we'll get into that. Also, have you ever been gaslighted before? Because you might not have ever been gaslighted this hard. We'll get to that at the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, what if your Hall of Fame second baseman needs to play left field? There's so much to get into. But we come back. There is still one last big piece that needs to fall, and I want to talk about where he might land next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Now, we ain't taking that.
/719 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326. That's a Vancouver Ford text line. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. Proud owner of a Broncos Sport in the parking lot right now. Please don't rob me.
You know those Broncos, not as spendy as I thought.
I know.
I was
the sports.
My
the big ones. I'm not. I ain't got big souk money.
Yeah, the big ones are a little ridiculous. I think it was the sports that I saw, but because I was having a little car trouble last week, and so then I was, let's see how much.
Starting to turn the wheels.
And then I saw, car prices, and I was like, okay, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I saw the Bronco pop up a couple times, like high 30s.
It's not bad.
Like 38, 39 for a base model. I was like that.
You know, I checked in with my boy Monty over at Vancouver Ford, and he helped me out.
I
love my car. I absolutely love my car.
It's a good looking car.
I'm gonna drive it for 200,000 miles minimum.
Sold the truck the other day. You did?
I did.
The Ranger?
Sold the Ranger the other day.
To
my stepdad.
They don't make them like they used to, man.
I sold it to my stepdad.
I'm assuming this is like a mid-2000s.
Oh, so it's still in the
nice
family?
Yeah, I sold it for $1. Okay. I got the dollar in here.
You sold it for $1?
I sold it for $1.
Good for you.
Why'd you sell it?
Because I don't use it. He's going to fix it up. And I told him I have first rights when he wants to sell it.
I'll buy it for $2.
So I'm going to buy it back from him after he does all the work that I can't do on it.
Well, I'm glad it's at least still in the family.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. Shout out to Boss Man.
Why?
Came into my pub today.
Oh, Boss Man Jeff. He's
Jeff
back
Baton Rouge?
No. Boss.
Oh, man. Mr. Cooley.
The big resident Red Sox fan, Ryan Cooley.
I could have sworn that Jeff was in the Carolinas.
No. Big Boss Man.
How
Cooley
about that?
Came in today.
Big swinging D, Ryan
big
Cooley.
Big swinging D.
Did he fire you on the spot in front of everybody?
No, but he paid with 3 different gift cards.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. That's radio right there.
That's radio right there.
That's right, baby. That's that club money.
I told him it was the same thing that I say to Sacramento. I know you don't listen to my show. He's like, I listen to your show from time to time. I was like, man, you know, we'll talk about DePoto gaslighting at the 8 o'clock hour. You don't need to do it right now, dude. Like, I'm aware.
Well, God bless Ryan Cooley's soul, because Kim Martinez, I don't know if she ever knew the names of either of the shows I worked on.
Big Chicken was in yesterday. Luke Anderson.
Oh, voice of Big Chicken, Big's Chicken.
He was in with some new sales rep. God rest her soul.
Oh, I think it's one of the sales associates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our... maybe with our, a P?
Like, she's going to hate her
Paulina.
Time here.
Paulina.
Yes.
Shout out Paulina.
Yes.
I gave them grief that nobody sells this show, and they were all kind of like, whoa.
I mean...
Then I said to Paulina, I said, my co-host is Joe Fisher, and he doesn't even sell this show. And she laughed and laughed and laughed.
It's true.
So, Joe, I learned that you're a bag. So thanks, dude.
Hey, it's true. Again, I told you, if I were to make a power rankings of everything that I can sell, this is in the bottom 5 of that power rankings.
The bottom 5? I would like to be...
It's a throw-in.
Fourth of the 5th.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Sports Sunday is below, for sure.
I wasn't saying anything about Sports Sunday. I listened to you on Sunday.
It is.
I did listen to you on Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, we got some news on Saturday night. I was thanking God.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy. I was stressing Saturday night. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell am I talking about?
It's the week off before the Super Bowl. We're hosed.
Like, thank God. Thank you, Luca and Nico Harrison. Thank you so much.
We'll start the baseball conversation off. Guys, there's one last domino that needs to fall. And this feels like an old school kind of Yankee thing. Maybe the Mets are the new, like, dysfunctional Yankees of the 2010s, et cetera. That is anybody else actually in the race for Pete Alonso?
Doesn't feel like it.
Right? It doesn't feel like anybody, you know, like, Jordan, I know you have mentioned weeks and months ago that the Mariners should take a run at Pete Alonso. And I agree with you. I actually think Pete would be a great fit in that lineup.
He would.
Well, we'll get into the 8 o'clock hour. We'll push that one back.
But there were teams that we talked about that made sense for Pete to go to. But this entire time, he is not signed because he doesn't like what the Mets are offering him. But who the hell else is offering anything to Pete Alonso?
I don't know. Maybe I just haven't done enough. I don't do a lot of research, but I haven't. I haven't heard. I haven't seen. Like,
I created
hey,
that, by the way.
Hey, this team is looking. This team is interesting. It just seems
right,
like
we're always looking to evolve. You know, we could sign a couple big guys here.
Seems like every update I get is Cohen bitching about how terrible the negotiations are going, and that's
and
the
Pete
only
Alonso
thing I see.
Saying I don't want to go to the Mets.
Like that is, I
oh,
feel
well,
like
you might have to, buddy.
Yeah, I mean. Again, I feel like we're kind of at a crossroads where it's like one of you's got a cave because apparently no other team wants to give you that money either. So
they seem like the massively dysfunctional husband and wife that, man, you know.
Can you guys just do it already?
Yeah. Can you just go in the back and bang it out?
Yeah,
like,
come on.
This is it. Like, you both are going to need to take some. So the question is, I'm going to honestly ask, if Pete Alonso doesn't sign for the Mets, where else is he going?
I mean, as far as who needs a first baseman, I mean,
Cooley
like,
floated to me today, the Yankees.
Oh, God, of course he did.
And I was like, you already have two first
You're
basemen.
You're like, why would you want your rival team to sign
And them? You already have a DH.
I don't know. I mean, Cardinals need a first baseman now that
they just traded theirs.
Yeah, I mean, that was what
well, I guess he left as a free agent. My bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's right. But again, I think they're trying to offload contracts, not give more money away at this point. And, you know, hence why Nolan Arenado, who's also in the news, he might be on his way to another team here. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of teams that, like, need a first baseman.
Angels, they're on the list.
Yeah, I mean, the Angels are always buyers. I mean, they're
randomly.
I saw a prediction of war for all the teams in baseball of this year compared to last year, like how many more games they might win this year. And the Angels were like 12 more wins this year, but every team in the AL West was still ahead of them. So somebody was like, sick, we're going to win more games and finish last.
Yeah. Not wouldn't be surprised.
But you're right. I could see the Angels. But the Angels, if there's anything we've seen the Angels have done this offseason, they've made moves, trades, signings, etc. But they're not doing the Josh Hamiltons of the day. They're not doing the big contracts for what's that guy's name? CJ Wilson?
Oh, yeah, like Jared Weaver, CJ Wilson back
yeah,
in the day.
Yeah,
kind of $100-plus
like,
million dollar on.
Yeah,
Sean
they, like, Figgins.
No, the Mariners. Shut up. The Mariners are the ones that gave him the money, buddy.
But they aren't doing the big contract like they did back in the day.
Well, and again, they gave that to Anthony Rendon also. So, I mean.
They did. Yeah. After giving that to Pujols. Did you guys.
I did see the other day that Anthony Rendon had some bad fish tacos and he's on the 60-day deal.
Yeah.
I bet he is.
Oh, burnt his tongue on hot chocolate. I saw that one too.
Did you guys consider the fact that as they're both kind of dropping as what were two of the top available free agent hitters, did you guys kind of consider that they might be very comparable to Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, you know, spring training signings last year that were supposed to get a ton of money up front in the offseason, ended up firing their agents, but now they'll become options to other teams that maybe weren't looking at them as hard before. I know the Red Sox were in on Pete Alonso a little bit earlier in the offseason. Well, now that his price is dropping, now that these guys are, to quote former Mariners president Kevin Mather, coming to them with hat in hand, basically trying to get a contract, I could see Boston in. I could see New York swooping in at the last second, getting a deal done. The Mets, mind you, not the Yankees. But outside of like the Angels and the Red Sox, maybe the Cubs on that list. I don't know where Alonso fits.
I'm going to also throw out the San Francisco Giants. Possibly.
They're the Gigantes.
They're not the Gigantes. I mean, they've been trying to get stars, big players last couple of years and seem to be, you know, striking out.
Correa, Judge, Shohei.
I mean,
they got money to spend.
And they don't have a first baseman, to my knowledge of that, you know. So
I think it's great that Jordan brought up the Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell thing. I think it's different with hitters, though. I think the pitchers, for sure. You know, I could be totally wrong, but I think it's a little different with hitters. But I'm with you. I do wonder, like, if it's February 4th. I mean, pitchers and catchers report in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you're not on a team, and you're basically negotiating against yourself.
So I have next team odds.
Because the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays look like a team that would sign Pete Alonso if they move Vladdy. But they're clearly not going to move Vladdy, at least now.
But also, I mean,
they might move him at the deadline when they realize they suck again. Oh, no, we suck again.
But also, I mean, hypothetically, you could just have Vlad stay at first and have Pete Alonso DH.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a prototypical DH.
Vladdy can also play some third base, Joe.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sure he could.
There you go.
I've seen him. It's not pretty.
So these odds are as recent as January 24th. So I can try and find maybe some more updated ones, but next team odds, plus 175, Toronto Blue Jays. And then it's New York Mets after them at plus 250.
Interesting.
Angels plus 500. Giants plus 600. And then the field plus 400. So, I mean, we're kind of right on the mark as far as, you know, the teams that...
But what's the field's bullpen look like? Is that a team you really want to sign with?
The field?
Yeah. I mean, they got starters.
I really like their
outlook. Jack Flaherty's off the market, dude.
Imagine that team name. We're just the field.
The field.
I was trying to think of Portland baseball team names the other day.
The field.
No. The Crows.
The Crows. No. Oh.
Yes.
Swifts.
I saw 500,000 crows flying through the sky the other day, and it looked very menacing and very scary. And
those
I was
are
like,
Swifts.
I was like, that'd be a good mascot. Because we would then murder teams.
I'm in favor so hard of the Green Sox. Let's go classic but new. We've already got the Red Sox. We've got the White Sox. Portland with all of its trees and all of the greenery around here. Yeah, you can make a weed reference if you want. I think the Portland Green Sox would be the best name that you could ever choose. But Jordan, we're not going to do it.
Jordan, I'm a big fan of you.
That's a dumb idea?
It was a terrible take.
Why? Why is that a terrible take?
Because we don't need more socks.
Yeah.
We don't need more stupid team names either.
I know. Just do the Mavericks.
The Washington Nationals is dumb.
The Crows would be cool.
If it's, you know, if it's the Portland Mavericks, I could dig.
No, because nobody likes crows, just like nobody likes spiders. So we're the Guardians now because spiders are scary.
You could have the Portland Gothic people showing up to games dressed as the Crow.
I like the Portland Strippers, honestly.
Actually,
that's actually not a bad baseball name.
Yeah.
And you can make Portland it very, very cartoony.
We'll strip you down of your... team. I was about to swear on air.
Anyways, Pete Alonso, huh? I mean, we were pretty spot on as far as teams outside of my Cardinals.
Yeah, and I mean, he's going to go to the Mets. They're going to figure this out, right?
I don't know. I
mean, right? They got to figure this out.
I mean, they spent a lot of money.
If the Mets don't have Pete Alonso, hot take exposed, maybe. I don't think so. The Mets aren't very good. Who's throwing the baseball? They got Schultzy and me as a 3-4 starter.
Yep.
Like, I don't feel good about this.
Yeah, I don't know, but something's got to happen sooner, or else you're going to end up with a similar situation last year. Is he Boris?
Scott Boris.
Oh, yeah, both of them are Boris.
Is Pete Alonso Boris guy?
Of course he
both
is.
Both of them. It's the same. That's why I looked at Blake Snell and Montgomery, and I understand that they're pitchers, not hitters, but literally Arizona was not an option for Jordan Montgomery until how long into spring training?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, yeah, nobody was talking about it in the offseason. So outside of this list, I mean, hell, maybe it won't happen, but the Mariners would creep back into the conversation if he got cheap enough. Maybe a Texas, you know, they could use a first baseman, throw him in the mix, or throw them in the mix.
Yeah, so we'll sneak back. We'll keep an eye on this and kind of keep track of Pete Alonso. I mean, he's the last domino to fall, but there is one more domino. Pete's the big one, but there's another one that still could land somewhere. And a GM came out and kind of said something that revealed his hand more than he might have realized did. We'll get to that next. But first, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's all we got. One damn hit.
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get into the most gaslighting of gaslighting you could ever imagine. And that's coming after 560 win percentage. So we got a loaded second hour, plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. But I want to kind of get into the Astros situation. And it's funny, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on when you talk about dynasties. And by no means do I want to call the Astros a dynasty, but they are perennial. They have been perennial for damn near a decade now. Okay. In 2015, they were ahead of schedule. I remember watching them against, I believe, the Royals in the playoffs. And the Royals beat him, but that Astros team was really feisty. And then you fast forward, they win a couple rings, the trash cans, blah, 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 blah. But we're seeing it right now. Super Bowls this weekend. The Chiefs, that dynasty going for 3 in a row.
And they will.
We're kind of seeing the Warriors fall apart a little bit as that dynasty is starting to end. The Astros I find extremely fascinating right now as they seem to be holding on to Jose Altuve. Obviously, Yordan Alvarez is their future as a hitter, but they just dealt Kyle Tucker, who I know people don't love baseball as much as they love basketball, but in my mind, dealing Kyle Tucker is kind of like dealing Luka to me. Like, Kyle Tucker is potentially a top 10 player in the game, and he's a kid, and you can lock him up for a long time and be a centerpiece. I know that's weird to say.
I mean,
because Luka's international, and he's way more of a superstar. It's so much harder to be a superstar in baseball than it is in basketball.
It's not a bad analogy, though.
But Kyle Tucker, like, I would die. Like, the Yankees are like, the Astros traded him to the Cubs, and he's a free agent? Ooh, boy, can't wait to offer him $1 billion next year. Like, I don't understand what they're doing. And then Dana Brown, their GM, comes out today, and he's talking about Alex Bregman and trying to sign Alex Bregman. And he's basically kind of saying, we've lost Bregman, quote unquote. And when you see teams like the Lakers, when you see teams like the Yankees, and even now in new dynasties of the Chiefs or the Warriors, you know, Steve Kerr's come out and said, we need help. We need more. And he's like, we need to keep this going because we have our guy in Steph, and we need to keep that going as best we can. They're actively trying. To where the Astros look at it look at it from, we got Framber Valdez and we got Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez. Like, Jose's going to sell bobbleheads and Yordan's going to smash home runs, especially in the playoffs. Like, that's great, but they're out on Bregman. I find the Astros just absolutely fascinating that this team is just crumbling, in my opinion, in front of us.
It has been a bizarre offseason in that sense, because, yeah, I mean, you're going to be losing two of your stalwart players. And
you already lost Correa. You already lost Springer.
Yeah.
Verlander's gone. Cole's gone. Where do you go?
You know, I mean, they do have Jeremy Peña at shortstop.
Sure.
I mean,
he is a World Series MVP.
Yes. You know, but again, outside of Altuve, Peña, Yordan Alvarez, Framber. I'm trying to think of one of their other pitchers. Oh, for God's sakes, he's on the tip of my tongue. White dude. God, I'm totally blanking on his name. But you're right. It's not
McCormick.
No, McCormick is he's that center fielder.
Yeah, sorry.
For the love of God, it's killing me right now.
I'm on it.
Hunter Brown?
Maybe.
Anyways.
Let's just go with that.
Sure. Hunter Brown. Sounds right. It's just a lot of like, all right, how are you going to rebuild this back up? Like you
Hunter
are.
Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown, who sucked to start.
Christian Javier.
Not bad as well. And they obviously they sucked to start the year. Hunter Brown did not start the year well, but he finished strong. But again, it's like when you keep losing guys like that, is it like, and winning, it's not like you have the farm system to replace them like you did when you were losing 100 games, right? And you were able to get
the farm
those,
system, yeah, is how you got to where you are.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, again, I'm with you. It's like you're not rebuilding, like you're not replenishing this talent in any way, it seems to me.
And I don't know how you start to talk about replenishing when you just traded what should have been the future of your team. Because let's not forget, when Jeremy Peña was the World Series MVP, it was kind of like, oh, we got rid of Correa, but we got this kid. Ooh, all right, plug and play.
Probably better than Correa.
Don't have to pay for Correa because he took a lot of money. So we got this guy. But we have this right fielder that is a transitional, like, top-level talent, and he plays for the Cubs now. Like, I keep harking back onto it. I know it's stupid to say, so I want to preface with that. But trading Kyle Tucker is like trading Luka Doncic in the sense that he is 24, 25 years old. And outside of a weird foot injury, he is the cornerstone of your team. So how are you supposed to sell to me that the Astros are going to be a team that is competitive when you just traded your best player because you were too afraid to pay him?
Now, to be fair, and I'll let you go here in a Schultz, in a second, Schultz. Okay. Looking at their FanGraphs starting lineup so far, they're 1-9. I mean, Isak Paredes, jury's still out if he's going to be able to replace what Alex Bregman gave you. And yeah, I'm kind of with you there, as that's going to be hard to do. They did get Christian Walker.
I love that signing.
Christian Walker
is, the Mariners would have done that. Signing.
Christian Walker is 34 years old, though. So keep in mind, it's like how many years left of Christian Walker are you going to get there? Again, we mentioned Jeremy Peña. Yennier Diaz had a good year for them as a catcher. But it's not, you know, you're not going to lean on a catcher to be your offensive stalwart.
But boy, the bottom of that is trash.
Yeah, I mean, McCormick is not bad in center field, but he's not a great hitter. Taylor Trammell, Jake Myers. I mean, you know, we can't forget
Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman. If you add those guys, that roster looks pretty damn good.
You cannot forget, obviously, outside of Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, we forgot about Ronel Blanco, who threw a no-hitter last year.
Yes, that's right, did. But also was
got suspended for cheating.
the only Astro that has ever atoned for their crimes.
It is a very different-looking Astros team. Are there good players on this team?
For
yes,
sure.
But this
for
is
sure.
not the Astros that we have seen throughout the years, and you wonder if... when we do our divisional preview, which we actually probably should get started here soon because we're not going to be here next week, and I think we're missing another show before the start of the season.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we should probably get on that.
I'll probably still take the Astros to win the division.
Because, yeah, there is something weird about that. But let's think about this. As I look at this, I got Fangraphs up right now. The last time the Astros were in a World Series, they got one player on the roster.
I mean, let me...
They got one.
Like, from this roster right now?
They got one. And it's an aging Jose Altuve that they're talking about putting in left field.
You're saying players from their first World Series.
No. Their latest World Series.
Well, I mean, Jeremy Pena was on
that. Oh, sorry.
And McCormick was on that World Series.
Yeah, wasn't Alvarez, too?
Wow, hot takes exposed.
Yeah, so hear me out. And actually,
Put the weed down.
You're kind of...
But do you know where I'm getting at, though? It's like that, it's just nucleus is gone.
It's, yes.
It's absolutely gone. And you had one player to be a part of that you've decided you didn't want to pay, so you shipped him out.
Yeah, you're kind of getting into what I wanted to do by putting tinfoil hat on just a little bit here. And really, just if you look at what's happening, all right, Occam's razor, the simplest explanation is the truth of what's happening. Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker aren't good in the locker room, or they don't want them in the locker room in Houston anymore. Right, and maybe you could say Alex Bregman, I'll say it because I always do when I say his name, associated with the sign-stealing scandal. He was the face of that, and the apology that he gave is still not forgotten by baseball fans all over the world. If I'm Houston, I don't mind washing my hands of that guy. You know what? Let him move on. Let him sign somewhere else. And beyond that, maybe those two aren't working out in the locker room. But if you're asking why, there's literally no other explanation than that or a GM being stupid as hell.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher, but again, like I said, I'll probably end up taking them to win the division, and it's a different looking Astros team. There is still talent there. I don't mind that 1-3 starting pitching staff.
Framber. You know I love Valdez.
You wonder if you're going to get Spencer Arrighetti, to have a good season as that fourth starter. Right. Again, it will be an interesting year.
That being said, speaking of Bregman. If the Astros are out, where is he going? And I'll tell you, from a personal note, I am absolutely terrified. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy behind the glass, 1080 The Fan. I used to have this very, very... I don't used to. I still do.
Can you say that?
If you come up with a beat, and you know... 770 and 404. I'm worldwide. Act like y'all don't know.
213-314.
Yeah, if you got a song and you're like, man, I think this beat is sick. I got a good flow on it. I think this could be a hit. And then I'm the producer and I walk in and say, yeah, why don't we call Nate Dogg and have him throw a hook on that?
Dude, that guy could sing about damn near anything in a melodic style.
Peppers, baby.
With feta cheese.
They got
cheese
some
crumbles.
Feta cheese. Some pepper on them. I got peppers.
Those are delightful, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Shout out my wife.
Very good. Very good.
Guys, Joe, you're in the American League East.
Yes.
Oh, we're American League guys. I always forget that. Schultzy,
this has been an American League show for 10 years strong.
That is true. Schultzy, you are the American League West.
Yes, sir.
I am the American League Central. What is the team currently right now that you are most afraid of?
In our respective
in your
divisions.
Yeah. So it's like, who's the team going into this year? You're kind of like, ugh, I got to deal with those guys.
Ourselves.
Yes. Yeah,
we're gonna play great.
Okay, you can't do that. It's
great regular season, then get swept.
Got to be a different team. I think I know your answers, but Joe, who's the team in your division that you're like, ugh, I got to deal with those guys?
I mean, they just made the World Series, so I'm worried about the Yankees.
Of course.
They did a great job replacing Soto. Like, they made great trades.
We talked on Dirt and Sprague during the holidays that we think the Yankees are better.
Yeah.
Even without Soto.
Again, it's a team sport. While one dude at bat definitely can help your team when you are able to get the second best closer in baseball. when you're able to get talent in pitching and hitting and to kind of fill the gaps. I mean, yeah, they had a great offseason, unfortunately.
Schultzy?
I mean, I want to say the Astros, but damn, three plus teams have added other than the Mariners in the AL West this year. The Astros have added pieces, maybe taken a couple away. Oakland, well,
I would argue the Sacramento A's are your biggest threat.
The A's I was going to say,
Oakland team that
one
you speak
to nine.
Of.
Yeah, who are these Oakland guys? No, but Brent Rooker,
Butler.
Oh my God, they've got Langoliers. They've got JJ Bladé. Like, they're actually sneaky,
Luis
scary.
Luis Severino,
and they signed an ace, and they've got a nice closer as well. So. Maybe the A's.
Okay, well, I've got one as a Cleveland Guardian, Cleveland Spider, Cleveland Indian, whatever you want to say. I've got one, and that, my friends, is the answer is the Detroit Tigers. And boy, am I scared. I actually think the Detroit Tigers right now, and it's funny that the Lions are kind of doing this in the NFL because it's the same city. I feel like the Detroit Tigers are sending a shot across the American League saying, we're here to play. They've got young kids everywhere. Riley Green is 1 to 2 great seasons away from being an absolute superstar in this league. They just signed Jack Flaherty, which puts their 1-2 punch, Tarik Skubal and Jack Flaherty. That is an excellent 1-2 punch. Flaherty already knows the system because he was there before he got traded to the Dodgers last year. And as we talked about with the Astros, if they're out on Bregman, come on down. The starting third baseman for the Detroit Tigers is probably going to be Alex Bregman.
Wow.
And I think if Bregman signs there, and I do think he will, I think the Tigers are the second best team in the American League. And that's no shot against your Orioles, Joe.
Well, no, they're first.
Your Orioles on paper are the second best team, but they've got issues.
They need better starting pitching.
And we've seen them be great in the regular season and kind of lose it in the postseason.
Poop themselves in postseason.
To where the Tigers are two outs away from beating Cleveland, who was two outs away from beating the Yankees. The Detroit Tigers, to me right now, are the scariest, most sleeping giant in the American League. Once I saw Flaherty signed with them, I went, yep, that's it.
Yeah,
Go get Bregman, and you've done it.
Well, how about that? Like, what a move. Like, you trade him in the middle of the season because you think your season is falling apart, and you get a couple prospects. One of the guys, I was just looking it up because I was curious what they got in that. One of the guys is their top five prospect now. That they got from the Dodgers in that deal. And then you make a run, you build confidence in this team and this young team and this franchise that, like, hey, we're actually pretty damn good. Let's have the best August, September out of anybody in the MLB. And, oh, now let's just bring Jack Flaherty back and sign him to a 2-year deal. So thanks, Dodgers. Like,
quietly sign Gleyber Torres.
Now, granted, the Dodgers, you know, they got what they needed out of him. He wasn't stellar in the postseason, the playoffs. He was good, though.
But he was good down the stretch in the regular season. And he had a couple great postseason moments that just weren't the World Series.
Right. So it was, I hear you, man. The Tigers, buy the stock now before the season starts.
I think this team, in a 7-game series against the Yankees, my heart really wants to take Detroit. And that's hard to say. Because when you look at your division of your team, Schultz, your team is the Mariners, right? And you look around at the Angels, the A's, the Rangers, and the Astros. You have your lineup of hatred to least hatred.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, in the East, you have your lineup of who you hate the most down to the team you don't care about. As a longtime Cleveland Indian fan and a current Guardian fan, I never hated the Royals because the Royals were never good. And then in 14 and 15, when they got good, I was like, you know what? Good for you. We're trash. Have it. Good for you guys. The White Sox, burn in hell. Twins, burn in hell. If there's an extra layer of hell, that's the Detroit Tigers. I'm terrified. I think they have an amazing team put together right now. If Dan Campbell was their manager,
he might be. Maybe
I would take him to win the World Series, but they don't.
Maybe
they have AJ Hinch, who has won multiple World Series and let people cheat to do it. The Tigers, I think, are scary. And mark my word, they will sign Alex Bregman.
You're calling it?
I'm calling it.
And if they do,
I think it's the smartest move for them. His value is now down. The Yankees aren't interested. The Mets aren't interested. The Astros basically said, we're out on it. If the Tigers sign Alex Bregman, that's the second best team in the American League, and it's not close.
I'm really trying to think. I mean, yeah, it's hard to dispute that. Again, you might be able to kind of flip-flop around Yankees, Orioles, them.
I love your Orioles. I mean, I hate the starting rotation. I love the bullpen.
Guardians.
Are going to do Guardians things. That's what we do all the time. And then every once in a while, you get to a World Series. And
quite frankly, I can't discount the Astros. One of those, I'll see it when I'll believe it when I see it. And I'll believe it when I see it beyond just the first month and a half of the MLB season, because we all thought they were done for last year.
They were toast.
And then sure enough, here they come. Death by a thousand cuts. They have the potential to be one of the best teams in the AL this year.
I'm going to go up to ALNA for fan madness, as I always do. You all should come too.
Hell yeah.
I've been considering taking time off Thursday, Friday. I've been wanting to do that for years.
Yeah, I have Thursday off, and I don't work on Friday till 3. So I'll be up there on Thursday all day, and Friday at least for a little bit. I might go up there and futures bet the Tigers.
Like to win the AL? Or like just win total?
To win the World Series.
Okay.
Jeez, what is that, like plus 4,000 odds right now?
Let's relax. Let's relax, bud.
I might.
I mean, we can
get good value on it. Just put $10 down and win, you know, $25K.
I mean, we are less
than betting works.
We are less than 2 months away from the start of the MLB season, so I think it is fair to look at odds.
$2,900. Okay, I thought that they'd be a little $10
on $2,900. Did I not just say that? Win $25K.
No, it would be like $10 wins $290.
No, I'd put $100 down to.
Oh yeah, then you'd get $29K.
Then that's $29K.
There you go. Yeah,
math.
It can be difficult. How about your Mariners though? Plus $2,600.
That's better than the Tigers.
Yeah,
that is the stupidest thing I ever heard.
Second best rotation.
Did Jerry DePoto call somebody and like get them a nice feature piece on Edgar Martinez and
juice those odds up a bit?
Speaking of Jerry DePoto, have you ever been lied to in front of your face? Have you ever had sex with somebody else's wife in front of your face? Have you ever just absolutely pooped all over somebody's face and told them, this is okay?
You sound like a lawyer.
Loaded second hour.
Call this number now.
Loaded.
You should be compensated.
You should be compensated. 10 in the fifth.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna read it. Dear Chase... They're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You download that on the Fan Podcast at 10inthefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Cooper Flagify.
Well, that'll be the last time you hear his name in Portland.
That'll be the last time you hear his name in Portland. I was just telling Joe, I don't want to sidetrack too much because I'd like to get into this DePoto stuff. But the Blazers are so bad that they suck at sucking.
Yep.
Pretty much.
Does anybody else say that? You know, I got
said it on Sunday.
I got mad respect for Danny and Dusty, for Danny Morang, works, you know, does hella Blazer stuff. And I got mad respect for my boy Brandon, who is an NBA diehard. But is anybody talking about how the Blazers suck so bad they can't even suck?
Yes, I literally said this on Sunday.
Joe was telling me, like, how annoying it is when you run into people that are like, hey, the Blazers are playing pretty good right now. It's like, no!
Which they are, but have you again...
Have you not heard of a man named Cooper Flagg? Like...
They don't care.
Do you like Kevin Durant? Because this guy could be Kevin Durant. It's like when people were like, you know, I don't know, Chet Holmgren? I don't know. And I was like, okay, all right, whatever. This guy's like, less Kevin Durant on offense, but a better defensive player.
Call me crazy, but I feel like when you have multiple draft picks in like the top three, top four, and you just accumulate a bunch of talent, your team gets good.
It's usually what happens. But no, good feelings and a, you know, success in the moment that means nothing. That's more important.
Yeah, it kills me. It's like Blazers have won 8 of their last 9, and they're 21-29.
And I'm like, what are you doing? What is absolutely wrong with you?
I was like, winning 8 of your last 9 is cool when you're like 40-10.
Is like, are you going to look around and say, you know, Chauncey, not so bad of a coach?
Yep. That's
you're like,
exactly
oh my God,
going.
What is going on right now?
Dude, sell while the stock is high. There's less than two days before the trade deadline, and all the players that you should trade, their stock is at its highest right now.
And they're not going to trade them.
Dude, they might trade Robert
Williams.
Well,
we might get in the play-in game, Joe. Might get in the play-in game.
Ugh. Dream scenario, they get in the play-in game, lose, and still somehow end up with the number one overall pick.
Not going to happen, Joe.
No. Oh, it's done. Their chances at the top five are long gone now.
It happened for the long Hawks gone. Last year. They made the play-in game as the 10 seed, I'm pretty sure. Lost.
And they drafted Victor Wembanyama. You're right, they did.
No, they got that Zachary Richosse guy.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is. I know who Victor Wembanyama is. And I know who Cooper Flagg is.
And the Blazers right now are up 45-38 at halftime.
Yeah, beautiful.
I hope you took the under.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You are so bad at your job that you can't even be bad at your job.
You know, it's I feel like I had this talk with my son Joey a couple weeks ago about like
Medium Joe.
Yes,
love
Medium
that
Joe
guy.
About
P1 of the show.
About tanking. And I told him, I was like, it's really hard to tell professional athletes to do something that their whole life they have been conditioned and told not to do.
That's
which
true.
Is
that's
don't
true.
Try hard, lose, don't win. Trying to like go your whole life, 18,
yet
19,
somehow superstars take
years.
Nights off and
hey,
that's
Joe, you know,
Joel Embiid is like, oh, watch this.
Hold my beer.
You know what makes that easier? Not bringing back a lame duck head coach that's coaching for his job and actually trying to win.
No,
games.
They brought him but back thinking that he would fail.
Exactly. They yeah. shouldn't have done that.
I really hope that the Blazers, I hope I'm very, very wrong, and the Blazers are hoisting the Larry O'Brien and Chauncey Billups is up on that stage in 4 years.
I
hope that is the case, but I find that very hard to believe.
Before we did this show, I was at the bar. We were watching the Cleveland Celtics game. I assume the Celtics won that game.
They did.
Yeah, they were up. They were up by 10, I think, late in the fourth when I saw. And I turned to a buddy. A buddy was like, "Dude, Blazers are playing good right now." I was like, "Yeah, Blazers Celtics finals. You heard it here first."
That is
I'll
the
be
most,
at game three. That is I'll the, be courtside at game three.
That's is the it, most Portland Trailblazers fan thing I've ever heard. Well, Blazers are playing good right now.
Is it 1978, 79 by chance? Blazers can make the finals again, man.
91.
I'd take 99. I would take giving up a 16-point lead in fourth quarter in the fourth quarter to the Lakers
Blazers.
In the Western Conference Finals to this.
99 is my favorite Blazers.
Oh, give me some spider action. Stacey Ogman, the spider.
Stacey Ogman.
Yeah, well, you were bringing up the Cleveland Spiders earlier. That was his nickname, the Spider.
That's what we should have been.
The Cleveland Spiders? Oh, yeah,
100%.
Yes.
But they were like, spiders are too scary.
The fact that there is only one team.
So let's find another secret racist thing.
There's only one team in sports that uses the spiders as their mascot, and
Richmond.
It's Richmond. Like, it's like, what are we doing? Spiders are intimidating, damn it.
The Richmond Spiders won me a lot of money, so I don't want to, like, hate on them too much.
Yeah, how do you bet on them?
Dude, the only thing I gamble on is a tournament bracket, and I've taken Richmond, okay. And Richmond's done very well for me over the years.
Richmond's my golden goose, baby.
I would also like to shout out Davidson. And George Mason.
And, yeah. classic. What was that, 06, 07?
Florida also was a big help in my life. Mm-hmm. Kansas, never doing it. Rick Barnes, never bet on Rick Barnes.
Nope.
Never bet on Rick Barnes. It's always going to suck you in, and it's a terrible idea. All right, I completely wasted that, and I went sidetracked, so I'm so sorry. When we come back, I'm going to leave right now because I want to get out early because I want to actually let this breathe. Let's talk about what do you do when the president of your baseball team gaslights the ever-loving hell out of you when you have the greatest rotation to ever ensemble outside of $1 billion by the Dodgers. We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. Fair Foul coming up here in about 15 minutes.
Thanks for putting this in.
Schultz's all jiving over there.
You got me. It literally gives me goosebumps every time I hear this. You got me into a good mood, and it's about to go away, and I don't like it.
It's about to go away, and it's about to go away right now.
Well, I'll tell you who's in a good mood. I just saw this picture come
up. The Blazers! Gozers!
Yes.
Shane should be on the bench. Trade him! Bust.
Just came across my Twitter feed. John Gruden is down in New Orleans doing his thing for Super Bowl weekend. And he got a picture with Sean Payton. Sean Payton showed up, and there's some girls there that's next to Sean Payton and next
Did
to
Urban
John
Meyer
Gruden.
Bring him?
Sean Payton must have graduated from the school of Urban Meyer because he's got a handful of cheek.
Yeah.
And it's like, it is, hand placement is.
Are they married?
He is not. Well, again, she looks pretty young. I mean, maybe she's a little bit older and looks good for age. Maybe that is his wife, and if so, good for Sean Payton. But
is Pete Carroll there?
That is...
Yeah, he's single.
I mean, that is straight up...
Wait, no, he's not. Never mind.
Handful of cheek right there by Sean Payton.
That could be a hand just
nah,
on...
That's on a cheek right there. I mean, look at that.
You know what? I've seen enough pictures now of men that don't, like, specifically try not to touch any illicit parts on a female, like, they'll go knuckles, you know, over the shoulders. So it's like, no, their hand is not out, and that is not there.
Have you ever seen the bodyguard for Leo Messi?
No.
Like, people come up to take a selfie, and they put their arm around him, and then the guy...
I have seen that, yeah.
It's pretty great. I would take that guy with
Someone
me.
Someone did respond. Can't believe you didn't let Urban Meyer in the picture.
I mean, that's the truth, dude. Herb's the life of the party.
All right, let's bring down the mood now.
All right, here it goes. Quote, I think there's a reality of our offense and then the perception of our offense. We play in a tough ballpark to hit in. Our offense has generally been above average based on advanced metrics, WRC plus and things like that, for a number of years now. The last 3 years, we've actually had a very stable offense, particularly good on the road. I think one of the top 10 in MLB when we're on the road. We're one of the top 10 on the road. Just let me tell you.
Tell that to Jerry DePoto putting our his face offense. In his hands last freaking August. But okay, buddy.
And at home, we play in a tough run-scoring environment that really benefits our pitching staff. And position players have been asked to find ways, and we've generally done that.
Is this Buster Posey
we've
talking about the
Giants? We've turned it into one of the best home records. We have a good offensive team. And we didn't feel like we needed to do a whole lot, but to find ways to support the group that we had. And I know the offseason has been long and seemingly slow. We feel, and I said this at season end, we do feel like we've made a lot of progress late last year. Quote, Jerry DePoto, president of the Mariners operations.
I thought you were going to say Neil Olshay circa 2014, 2015 or something like that.
It's not breaking news.
Yeah.
Jerry DePoto is sitting here and saying that the progression that the offense made at the end of the year is basically signing offensive talent.
Yeah, in 2 months, we're going to hear that Randy Arozarena last season at the mid-season trade deadline was also like an off-season acquisition, right?
I understand that like the Stanton thing is brutal and the Root thing is brutal. But has Jerry DePoto completely sold his soul for this job? Because it feels like it's kind of like this Nico Harrison thing. If you believe the rumors of like casinos in Dallas and he's homies with Rob Pelinka because of Nike, if you believe these conspiracy theories, is there a chance that DePoto has decided to sell his soul to Stanton to make sure that he runs this thing for the next 30 years and cashes in 15 to 20 million a year doing it
to his defense
and lives on Mercer Island and doesn't care about anything
to his defense. September was the best month they had for batting average. It was the best month they had for on-base percentage, the best slugging month of the year, which obviously you add those numbers and that creates OPS, which was also the best.
And I do think there's a reality. JP was hurt all year.
Julio, so was Jorge Polanco.
Julio had a bad year. So I'll agree with that. You can't believe that Mitch Garver is going to be this bad again.
Dude, you're already, damn it. All right, so you're I'll let you finish.
But I'm just, okay, I threw the Mitch Garver in to get you riled up.
Well, actually the first two things that you said that got me riled up.
But there is some reality. Like, JP was hurt a lot of the year. Julio, obviously a down year. I mean, the best thing DePoto's done in Seattle outside of this starting staff is locking Julio into that deal.
Agreed.
Locking Julio into that deal is the best thing. Maybe the best thing in franchise history.
It's literally the same team.
Knowing that he's going to be there.
I'm looking at it. It's
but
just...
yeah, their biggest offseason acquisition was re-signing an average second baseman to play third base.
I mean, so... what are you trying to ask? Like, first, do I feel gaslit?
Hold up. Did you hear when he started talking that he was super far away from the
mic? Yeah, because he's
That's because he's in a chair like, oh my God, I want to die.
Yep.
We're not trying to kill you, Schultzy, but this is your time to shine. 1, 2, 3, go.
I mean, are you trying to ask, like, do I feel gaslit? Because the answer to that question is yes. I 100,000% do. We've heard from different points during Jerry DePoto's tenure. He's got this hubris kind of attitude about his approach and the Mariners organizational approach, which we also heard from owner John Stanton during the offseason, that includes not going after big name bats, right? Not giving a bunch of money to guys. And we've even got Mariners media trying to spin this into a positive, saying like, hey, you know what? They're actually going forward with these guys that they committed to last year, and they think that there's some kind of salvageable diamond in the rough there. Okay, so here you go. You're assuming that Julio Rodriguez is going to bounce back. You're assuming that Jorge Polanco is going to bounce back because he's not injured. You're assuming JP Crawford's going to bounce back, right? You're assuming that Mitch Haniger and Mitch Garver are both going to bounce back, even though one of them is aging and pretty much out of the league already, and the other you don't know if you're getting more than a bag of chips from. You're assuming that Cal Raleigh isn't going to get injured, nothing bad's going to happen to this season, and you're going to get just a nice, great old plane of play from Cal. You're assuming that Luke Raley's going to come back after his career season last year, his best season ever in Major League Baseball, and then repeat that. And then the one thing that I actually do agree with, I would do this if I were a general manager and president. You're assuming Ryan Bliss is going to be able to play with 400 at bats at second base. I'm down for that. But other than that, you're looking at rebounds and assumptions for an entire lineup, 1 through 9. And it is so annoying. This organization is a joke. They don't care about winning, and they've made it obvious that they care about profits overwinning. They're spending less money now than they did in 2017. And I just don't know where this organization is headed. And for Jerry DePoto to say, hey, you know, this last month of the year, it basically emboldened him to believe that his strategy's working. Guess what? Your strategy wasn't working. And hiring Dan Wilson and Edgar Martinez is not a strategy.
You are now about to witness Supplement the talent.
You are a horrible home park team. Your pitching staff, their numbers were vaulted up by your home park, okay? And there is no way that they're going to be able to repeat basically holding their head above water, winning 85, 86, 87 games like they have the last two seasons. At some point, there are going to be holes in the ship, and I hope Jerry DePoto experiences that this year, because this last month of the year was the worst thing that could have happened to them, because it emboldened Jerry DePoto to think his way really is the best. And nope, bro, it's the highway. Get the hell out of town.
Yeah, but every time a starting pitcher shows up on the mound,
if you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Right, but that's what he's saying. He's like, but like every time a starter goes out there, we can win this ball game. It's like, I know, I watched that with Felix, and that's why he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I agree with what Schultzy was saying about that month of September, and you know, again, to DePoto's defense, like not only those numbers that I say those were the Mariners' best month in hitting and all that.
Well, it was Julio kind of figured it out. JP was healthy.
They were like top five in every hitting category. Yeah. I just double checked. I'm like, all right, those were their best numbers.
And if get in the playoffs, you get a Rosarena, Carlos Beltran. So,
but yeah, you're completely negating March, late March through August.
Oh yeah, like, by the way,
which is where the bulk of your life lives.
The bigger sample size there, bud. Like,
just quickly,
so
you think Victor Robles is going to be able to play at an MVP level, basically? Because the last 2 months
but
of the
season,
what
he did for 2 months,
he was an MVP. So you're expecting that, and then a Rosarena as well. You're expecting kind of a rebound season.
Look,
from him.
Our scout team is really good. We're really looking at stuff. We really know what's going on here.
It's literally the same team.
It's literally
the
same team.
It's a team of assumptions, guys. Hope in one hand, spit in the other. Tell me which the hell fills up first, because this team is based on hope and assumptions.
Is it weird that when he said spit in the other, I got a little turned on?
Oh. Hawk two.
Yeah, get that going.
Hawk two and spit on that thing.
That is Pacific Northwest fandom for you, folks. Selling hope.
Ladies and gentlemen,
selling hopes and dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jordan Schultz, that was fantastic, dude.
Thanks, man. That's true thoughts right there.
Well, you know, I've been holding out on this for a while. I knew there was going to come a time where I needed to just let you go.
I mean,
but the recent comments from DeBoto, I read those and I was like, bro.
Well, and I said to Patrick,
how do you go home at night and you say to your wife, how was the press conference today? And you're like, I just told him this. And your wife looks at you and goes, dude, you're an ass.
I know.
My wife would say that to me. She goes, really? You told people that your offense is better? You haven't done S, babe.
I felt like shedding tears when I saw the Jorge Polanco signing. I was just like, is this a joke? Like,
no.
It's like, this is their offseason?
Well, a couple of commercial breaks ago, I mentioned to Patrick, I was like, you know, Jordan asked a couple of weeks ago on Fair or Foul if this was the worst offseason in Mariners history. And at the time, we were like, I don't know, it's getting there. Like,
no, it's not the worst.
And when I saw those comments from DePoto the other day, I went back to that moment. I'm like, yeah, this is now officially.
This might be the worst.
This might be the worst. But again, that September looked pretty good.
Yep, but they can't play like that for 6 months.
Well, it's like, man, we crushed it in that month 4 or 5 months ago. Too bad we couldn't keep playing baseball and that, you know, that kept going. But now we literally have a whole off season.
I know.
And where the worst we are part, not playing baseball, and we have to somehow remember, oh, yeah, let's do what we did in September and now do it again for 6 months straight.
And the worst part is he can't even claim that he has the best rotation in baseball anymore because the Dodgers spent $1 billion on theirs.
No, and I'm serious. The numbers, there's
but before the Dodgers did that, it's the best rotation in baseball, hands down.
There's a couple stats, though, that came out, and it really was the overall numbers for the Mariners starting rotation was amplified by the T-Mobile Park stats or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Oh, it's a pitcher's ballpark. It's helpful, for sure.
And you've got guys coming in, and their stats as a whole go down, too. So it's not just, it's kind of making me wonder if the Mariners starting rotation is as good as we think they are. Yeah, they've still got around an
This is how we've broken Schultz.
Yeah, because
Schultz is now questioning if George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, and Luis Castillo are good starters.
Because I'm forced to sit rolling out watch a team that rolls out like a starting lineup with no designated hitter.
We're in trouble.
God.
He's so worried about the team. He thinks his aces. He's got three aces on the team and two guys that could be aces. He's worried they're not very good.
Well, dude, I mean,
if there's anything I can drill into your Dutch brother's head, is that Logan Gilbert and George Kirby are studs.
Okay.
Are absolute studs, okay?
Wouldn't it be hilarious?
All right? Miller and Wu could be studs. All right?
Fair.
Pull it back, buddy.
Wouldn't it be hilarious
if
this season the Mariners starting pitching had the worst starting pitching season ever?
Oh, my God.
But their offense was just insane.
Like Gilbert has Tommy John.
Just complete flip-flop. Like,
Gilbert has Tommy John. Kirby's got a 4.7 ERA. Wu has been dealt to the Marlins.
I would die if it was like, wow, the Mariners have the
number one
offense.
Got 320 batting average. Julio's got 70 home runs.
They literally have the number one offense, and their pitching is ranked 30th.
They lose in the first round because Luis Castillo gives up 7 home runs in the first inning.
Not even make the playoffs again because they did essentially what they did last year. Just
no, they
got to
make the playoffs because that bolsters it up.
I'd take that season as a Mariners fan. It's sad, but I would, brother.
That would be like somewhat of a good poll question. Like,
as a Mariner fan, would you be okay with having the number one offense next year if it meant your pitching was number 30th in the league?
And like, Schultze basically said yes.
Let's go, baby.
Sign me up.
Just to have the satisfaction of having the number one offense, I think a lot of Mariner fans would take that.
Not only the satisfaction, Joe, the Mariners proved that even with one of the best starting rotations in baseball, that alone cannot get you to the playoffs. Yeah. And Jerry Dipoto is turning around and saying, well, this same old 1-26, they're getting us to the playoffs.
Dipoto for the Hall of Fame.
For a Hall of Fame gaslighter.
Genius. Absolute genius.
What's the bat awards? Right, oh, yeah, the Razzies. He should be nominated for a Razzie.
He was right. The offense got better, and we were so wrong. They went from 28th to 1. Ahead of the Dodgers.
Wow. So they must have, like, won the pennant, right?
Mookie Betts won the NL MVP. He batted .450 and had 75 home runs and 200 stolen bases, but Mariners still had the number one offense.
Dude, sign me up for that. That would be the funniest thing.
I would just put Jordan in a box and make him only watch Mariner games and then just videotape it Truman Show style.
What was that one Japanese show where they just filmed the guy, his entire, like, the real life show where they were filming that guy?
Oh, I have no idea. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it was a real thing.
It was like a real Truman show?
It was like a real Truman show where it was this Japanese dude and they were just filming him in his house and he had no idea that millions of people across Japan were watching him. Amazing. That could be Schultze. That could be the next Schultze show right there.
I'll pitch it when I become a Hall of Fame voter.
It's like you... just tease me that they will win the World Series at least once at one point someday.
All right, we got to get out of this. When we come back, we'll do fair or foul, everybody's favorite, but first we'll throw it somehow to that guy Schultze to do sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Fair or Foul. We do it at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour every single Tuesday. We got him fired up, so we'll see how he does here. But we'll pass this over to our fantastic producer, our passionate producer, everybody at this station's favorite, Jordan Schultze.
I appreciate you guys. See if I can breathe here. Despite the Mariners sucking, there are some other issues going around MLB, maybe causing some fans to think that the league is sucking a little bit as well. We'll start, guys, with the overall spending. Of course, we've seen conversations this offseason with the Dodgers, with the Mets spending enormous amounts of money, more specifically the Dodgers in the last 2 years, and then the Blue Jays, for instance, being in on every single one of those big names free agents.
Blue Jays love being in on free agents without signing them.
I know, and even if they would have signed like half those guys, just imagine the $1.5 billion that they would have had to commit now, and the Dodgers also committing their billion plus. It's just getting insane with the numbers, and then you compare it to the small market teams or the ones like the Mariners that don't want to spend money, and parity is starting to disappear, at least in some people's opinions. So guys, fair or foul, I'm not going to set a timeline on it. I'm just going to ask, fair or foul, MLB will end up with a salary cap at some point.
I don't see it. As much as, you know, I've talked about this in the past, and I've had these conversations of late with some friends, you know, off air and such like that. It makes the most sense for Major League Baseball to have a salary cap. I do. But there's a reason that outside of the Longshoremen Union in America, Major League Baseball Players Association is the strongest union in all of America. And that's because they got this. They got this in the 70s, and they're never, ever going to let it go. They're never going to let it go. And I think something that people have to remember when it comes to baseball, it's a little different than the NBA. It's closer to the NBA than the NFL, but people look at it like the NFL. The NFL has 17 games, okay? That's half of those are You know, half of those are home games. Major League Baseball, you have 81 home games. So ticket sales, merchandise, concessions, all that stuff, that's a lot of what keeps baseball afloat. Not to mention that baseball is the number one hat of all sports. That's the number one. I'm wearing one right now. That's the number one thing. So baseball has so many little things going for it that help prop up the no salary cap. But at the end of the day, the reality is that the players have that. And the second Major League Baseball the owners try to take that away from them is the second they walk away. Welcome to 94. Every time there's negotiations, that's the biggest stick. And players are never going to give it up. It's baseball's fault. They let them have it, and they have to live with it.
Sorry to tell you, Schultzy, but last week, Will Ortner asked us this very same question.
My bad.
And you should be ashamed.
I am.
You should be ashamed. Should clearly not listening.
You should commit.
I know you were puking and pooping.
Yes,
but
I was.
You should have been hyper into what Will Ortner
You
asked
should
us.
Commit seppuku right on air right
I
now.
I thought I said something about this recently.
I apologize. What, seppuku?
No, wow. About the salary cap. I said I was talking to a friend. No, it was Will Ortner. He's not my
on
friend.
This show.
He's yeah. not my friend.
But yeah,
too it's...
He's
too tall for me.
Should there be... No, there should be a salary floor, but ooh. I mean...
I'd fight for a salary floor in a heartbeat. I think players would agree with it.
But Patrick is right. It's just, it's never, ever, ever going to happen.
No, like, they lost it. You know, it's like guaranteed contracts in the NBA.
It's Pandora's box, man. It's open. It's never going to get closed.
NBA has guaranteed contracts. They're never going to get rid of it. They gave it into the players. That's why the NFL will never. The Deshaun Watson deal... NFL owners were S-ing their pants. They're like, nope, we can't do this. And if Deshaun Watson didn't reveal himself as a bag and a two-time Achilles blowout, like, that could be a huge problem.
Well, they got 2-3 years of a sample size and be like, that's why we're not doing
that. That's why we don't do it. And players are like, damn it, Deshaun, why do you suck? You know,
on and off the field.
Yeah, if it's Patrick Mahomes who signs that guaranteed deal, it's over. Then that opens the door for players to get guaranteed contracts. It's never going to happen in the NFL because they have that and they'll never let it go. The NBA gave it and that let it go. And no salary cap in baseball, that let it go.
Yeah, and especially with what some of these dudes, you know, even outside of Soto, some of the contracts that have been signed, it's just like, how do you tell players going forward, like, oh, yeah, well, no, you can't have that money. Like, well, he just got paid like $750 million. He just got $500 million, $400 million contract over this. Like, why? Like, yeah, well, there's this whole salary cap thing now. So sorry, you can only get paid, you know, this much per year.
I'll never forget. It's like 15 years ago, Mike Dunleavy Jr. signed a contract extension with the Pacers and made like $14 million a year. And people were like, excuse me? Mike Dunleavy Jr. is making that much money? And it was over for the NBA. That's when it was over. Not that Mike Dunleavy was a bad player or a great player. No, he was a good three-point shooter. Kid came out of Duke. His dad was clearly a basketball head. But once people realized that a guy like that could get that money, it was over.
Yeah, the NBA is still a mess, though, because then you had guys like Rodney Hood still only being able to sign for $5 million a year. It's just not proportionate to how it should be.
Money's tough.
Yeah, especially in the NBA. All right, guys, fair foul number two. Two major big names remaining on the free agent market, Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman. We were talking about them a little bit in the first hour. Go podcast it wherever you get your podcasts here on the Hot Corner. So, guys, Pete Alonso, fair or foul, will sign a contract before Alex Bregman simply because of the demand in free agency. So, you guys, you think fair or foul, Pete Alonso will sign a contract before Alex Bregman as we are 2 weeks away from spring training.
Who? Pete Alonso or Alex Bregman first? I feel like the Alonso thing is closer because it's literally just like one team trying to sign him right now. I feel... That's a good question, because I also feel like that could just drag out and just keep dragging out.
And that's why I'll jump in and I'll say it's Alex Bregman.
Yeah.
I think Bregman signs before because, like, Joe, you talked yourself into it. It's that Pete Alonso's going to be a Met.
But it's just going
to
drag out.
It feels like they're going to drag it out until they can figure it out to where the team that wants Alex Bregman the most just said, we're out on Alex Bregman. And the Yankees aren't in. The Blue Jays aren't in. Who else is in? Unless someone swoops in, the Mariners clearly aren't in. They just got their third baseman of the future.
And by the way, switching somebody from second to third because of his defensive abilities is the most bullshit thing I've ever heard.
We just got him to calm down, know, Patrick. Sorry,
usually, you move from third to second. Apparently, the hot corner is going to be easier for Polanco, but I digress.
Not if you're A-Rod. Yeah, I think Bregman signs first, and I think he signs with the Tigers.
All right, yeah, I'm going to have to agree that because there's more teams probably going after Bregman, and they want him in camp beforehand, and yeah, this Mets thing is probably going to drag out.
Plus, all of a sudden, Vladdy gets traded to the Yankees, and now it's Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
All right, guys, let's move on to a little bit of betting news in Major League Baseball. Umpire Pat Hoberg was fired in the last week by the league because...
Recognize the face. I saw his face, and I was like, I know that guy.
I know you. Well, he's known as one of MLB's best umpires, has a really great strike zone, is known to be fair with both teams. He doesn't go off on you like Hunter Wennerstedt or throw guys out because of something that was said by a fan outside of the dugout. But apparently, he had a betting account that he did not use. It was found out that he did not use this, but he had a betting account that was shared with a friend of his that was betting on baseball. He, for some reason, and admitted the mistake that he made, said that yes, he was connected to it was a professional poker player that had this betting account that was betting on sports, but because of his association with it, because of sharing this legal sports betting account, Pat Hoberg has been fired as an umpire in Major League Baseball. It's sad, in my opinion, because he is one of the better ones, and it's also kind of running into a wall because you've got the whole betting scandal, and you can't allow any sort of impropriety even appearing to continue. So, guys, fair or foul, MLB made a huge mistake firing umpire Pat Hoberg.
I will start. It's very clear with me. The answer is foul. Hey, let me share this with you. I have a DraftKings account, and I don't use it. But my buddy Joe over here has access to my account. Now, why on earth would my buddy Joe over here have access to my account that I don't use?
You're just a good guy that wants me to use your money to place bets.
Did you?
And like, I will end up.
Did you accidentally, like, unfairly get banned?
Yeah.
From that? So you needed me to sign up for one for you?
Whatever to be able reason, to use? It's all up in the. It's good. All right. It's all up to snuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I trust you. I'm gonna go back to my job that is very anti-gambling. But since, you know, they unjustly banned your account, you can use mine that I never use. I'll never get caught for that. Come on. Come on. What are we doing here? Unjustly? Oh, yeah, I never use that account. It's just linked to my buddy, who's a professional poker player. Professional poker player? That guy's, like, got 60 accounts somewhere. Adios.
Yeah, I'm with Patrick on here. I mean, you just can't. It's,
you just can't. Yeah, it's in every locker room.
And it was, I mean, also betting on the sport. Like, maybe if he was not betting on the sport, then you'd be like, oh. But, yeah, it stinks. When there's smoke, there's fire. It's just, it is not a good look. And
your wife? Okay, maybe. Not but a friend?
Not even
that.
Even
your mom or your dad or your brother. It's just, why is somebody using your account?
Yeah. Nope. And if they didn't let him go, oof, there would have been no player manager team that would have trusted any game he would have been calling.
And even if you look at his buddy and his buddy never bet on baseball. And it was just basketball and NFL and horse races.
Was that the case?
I don't know.
Oh. No, he did bet on the buddy did bet on baseball.
Yeah.
Games,
okay, I was gonna say I was like, I mean,
so it's like even if you are not baseball, why is your friend using your account? Why do you have an account for your friend? Either he's betting for you. Or your friend is such a degenerate gambler that you should not be enabling them.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, man. You're gone.
I guess it's time to punch him out.
Yeah.
Hey.
Baseball more than
Rip
any sport.
Rip the phone book on this guy.
Baseball more than any sport. There's a reason we don't see as much DraftKings and FanDuel in baseball as we do everywhere else. That's I watch English soccer.
It's a sensitive
and it's
subject,
like Sky
man.
Bet. It's like Sky Bet on this game.
Oh, it's,
that guy, though, he's out. He gambled on this sport.
It's every, yeah. But
baseball does it the least because baseball doesn't want gambling in their sport.
Again,
it's too easy to fix.
It's a sensitive subject for them, too.
Too easy to fix.
Yep. It's also very hypocritical for them to be like, well, yeah, we know one of our best players ever. We banned him
the
for life
game.
Because of gambling. But use promo code Pete Rose and we'll give you $100 off.
$100 off your first gamble.
Yeah, exactly.
Get your money back.
By the way, Hoberg will be able to reapply for employment in the league in 2026.
Oh, he's out. Said. He's out.
They'll never let him back in.
Pat Hoberg?
No. They'll never let him in.
All right, guys, final fair or foul. Wrap it up with this. You heard my diatribe on the Seattle Mariners. Yes, I believe Jerry DePoto gaslit the hell out of fans and personally lied even in that statement that he made.
Potentially gaslit himself.
No kidding, because they were in on Carlos Santana, and you didn't hear from them basically getting pantsed, outbidding the Cleveland Guardians, yet still losing out because they are an ass organization. So guys,
Low
fair or foul, the Mariners will fire Jerry DePoto after the season. Fair or foul?
Foul. Foul.
Keeping him.
Yeah, foul. No way. He built the best rotation in baseball that money can't buy.
Blink twice if you need help, Jerry.
Yeah, and he's like staring at you. No, he built the best starting pitching rotation in baseball that money can't buy. He landed a controllable, affordable Randy Arozarena and signed Julio Rodriguez to an extremely team-friendly deal. He gave him Ronald Acuna for 5 more years. Like, Julio is going to be a Mariner when he's 35 years old. DePoto has done really great things in Seattle. He truly has. I know that's tough. I know that's really hard to hear. But the bullpen over the last few years has been really good. This starting rotation is the best rotation I have seen in at least a decade, if not since the Braves in the 90s. I'm not counting the money that's going down in LA. This rotation is absolutely phenomenal. You've got a superstar center fielder. You've got a catcher who's a perennial all-star. DePoto's done great things. He's hamstrung by an ownership that he enables. That's why he's going to keep his job. And probably for another 10 years.
Yeah, I have to agree with Patrick. It's definitely...
It's business.
Yeah.
The owners had to sign off on Nico Harrison selling Luka Doncic for nothing.
Yes, after they laughed at him. They then said, okay.
Yep, they said... Yeah, dude, this makes sense. I don't want to pay that guy $300 million.
Yeah, again, for the reasons that Patrick just said, I agree. It's the Mariners just seem content doing the same thing, running it back year after year and making minor improvements, trading for randos that make the team a little bit better or just do nothing at all. And it's just a weird relationship.
Better.
And I feel like the leash that they let DePoto have going out making remarks like this seemingly every offseason. Again, if anything, maybe they put it on Dan Wilson after this year.
That is true. That's
first year
true.
Managerial, lumps, having to coach a full year, you know, give him some more time. Like, they just seemingly always have an excuse.
I don't know if you meant to, Joe, but you just said 2 years in a row, DePoto has come out and had big statements about the organization that land terribly locally, fan base, and national media, and he still has a job. That means they support what he's saying. 2 years in a row, the 500 win percentage and the gaslighting right now with the offense. And the ownership is like, yeah, we're good with him. We love this guy.
Yeah, it's a bad look. And again, it just seems like he's got the leash to do it. And I don't think he would be saying these things if he didn't feel like he had a comfortable job.
That is fair.
Or was
foul.
Comfortable in his job, rather.
That is, Joe, you're spot on with that.
And to your guys' point, the Mariners handed him an extension without publicizing it at all.
Yeah, so. Of course. He's their guy. That is fair or foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Super Bowl picks. I'm going to give a Super Bowl pick because I'm not going to do anything until the Super Bowl. Denny the Fan. All right, we are off next week. Not that any of you are listening right now, but we are off next week. So give us a couple break, and then probably we start diving into previews as pitchers and catchers are going to start reporting soon.
Yeah, because if I pull up the old calendar here, it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, I believe just 5 more
five
shows
weeks.
Until opening day.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Because
we got six divisions.
Because, yeah, we're off next week, and then there is a Tuesday in March that we will probably, I think it's March 4th.
Yeah, I have it in the calendar. There is a Tuesday in March that we're out.
So, yeah, I mean, we might even have to double up on one of those days.
Yeah, okay.
When is opening day? Is it March 25th?
Well, technically, there's those Dodgers Cubs Japan, or is it in Korea?
I hate when they do that. They don't really affect the regular season, but
that?
They do.
Zimbabwe.
It's how they do the rosters.
It's free baseball.
No, it's just that it's. Do an exhibition game. Don't do regular season games. That's the only thing I hate about
it. If you do exhibition, no one will play.
This is America's game.
Global sport, dude.
Okay.
Opening day MLB 2025 is March.
Trey Schulze for Anthony Davis and Markieff Morris.
Thursday, March 27th. So yeah, we'll have 5 more shows.
Ozzie Smith Day.
Before. So yeah, I mean, before we're back in 2 weeks, we're gonna have to figure out how we kick things off with our divisional previews.
Well, we'll have to figure out which division to start with because we have to pretty much pick one that is set and ready to go.
Orioles winning AL East, yeah.
Real quick, guys, Super Bowl's on Sunday. I don't do shows from here to then. You guys are a lot cooler at this station than I am, despite being longer than all of you. Who you got in the Super Bowl? Let me know.
Last year, I took the more talented team, and that was the San Francisco 49ers, and I was wrong. This year,
you're going to take the more talented team.
The more talented team is the Philadelphia Eagles, and I will not be taking them. I am taking the Chiefs 27-23.
Schulze?
Chiefs by a touchdown.
You know what's funny is the Chiefs are a fun version right now. If you make a mistake, they will capitalize on it. And I find the Eagles more mistake-prone than the Chiefs. I will also take the Chiefs, and I will also take Travis Kelce proposes to Taylor Swift at the 50-yard line. A la Johnson and Boise State.
I saw the prop bet for that, and I said, hammer the no.
Hammer
no
the
way
no.
In hell that
hammer
happens.
Hammer the no. No way it would. All right, that'll do it for us. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schulze behind the glass. Go have fun. Do something I would do.